Welcome to Poderosas FC Radio. I'm your host, Maite, and today's guest host is Tiff. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
I'm also very, very excited. Just to give everybody a heads up, it's probably going to be kind of a heavy episode. We've had a heavy week, a heavy weekend, and there's a lot going on that most likely you guys already know about. So we won't get bogged down into details, but I do want to talk about our experience and our stance.
Yeah.
Starting with like what Poderosa stands for, which has never been a secret, which is never. That we stand with Palestine and we stand against genocide, and we've flown in the Fortaleza, the Palestinian flag, since day one. It's like first match of ACFC. It's not a secret.
Nope.
It's not something that we're ashamed of at all, you know.
In fact, it's been used to benefit the club as a way to show like the diversity within the SGs, you know. And it's in our name, Poderosas, like, you know. We didn't mince words with that in our community statement, you know. Our principles, our guiding principles, have been very, very clear, like explicitly clear. There was nothing that was implied, right? And so, yeah, you know, this is something that we've been saying. I know we said it in the Crudo podcast, which was a very raw take, you know. I had a chance to like go back and listen to it, and you always go like, oh, I should have said this and I should have said that, but mm-hmm. No, you know. The way we show up in the stands is the way that we show up in our real lives, in the streets, in our work, in our dailies. And that's not going to change, like, regardless of how uncomfortable our stances make people feel, right? Discomfort. Like, I invite folks to lean into that discomfort, you know?
Absolutely. And for those who don't have the context, we attended the final regular season game for ACFC where Angel City's front office / founders attempted to censor us for the first time that I'm aware of, and basically changed things up on us. And before I get into like the details of what happened at that game, I have to mention ACFC has built what has recently been valued at a $180 million club off of the backs of supporters like us, like our groups, who spend so much time and labor and effort for free.
Yeah, that's been something that they've been able to get what they call brand recognition, which you actually can't put like dollars to, right? It's like literally invaluable, right? The fact that you went to New Zealand and there was folks saying, oh, ACFC, like, yeah, like, oh, we watch those games, you know?
We love what your team stands for.
Yes, you know? Like, they tout, like, it's the most electric supporter group, like, that you can feel the atmosphere once you walk into the stadium, you know. It's not because they're selling jerseys like crazy, it's because they're selling an image, they're selling a dream, you know. They're selling like this vibe, right, that, to be quite frank, was built off the backs of the supporter groups.
100%. And the players have told us face to face, other fans, you know, across the world have told us, anyone will tell you that the community that we built, that we have with each other, is what has made this team valuable. Like, no one can deny that. They can't deny that. So that they've managed to, you know, Julie Ehrman and other founders have like turned their backs on us, and then even went even further. They broke the trust with us. They placed us in an unsafe environment, and yeah, just basically said, screw you.
Yeah, and what's worse, right? I think there's been multiple supporters, not just within Poderosas, but like within the SGs, right? The official SGs. There have been multiple people that have reached out to the front office, the, you know, ticket, our sales reps, right? And have not really received like any statement from it. Like, and to be honest, I'm not expecting a statement. Like, yeah. I'm expecting them to just wait it out.
They're definitely playing the the card of like, I don't see it. All I'm doing is celebrating these other things that are going on. Organization.
My favorite thing when somebody says, keep politics out of sports. This is a soccer game. And I'm like, do you pay money to buy that ticket to go to the soccer game? Because money is political AF. Like, if we want to go down that route, like, you know, the history of football in this country or in the world, you know, it is a working class sport.
1,000%.
You know, that is not separate from like a working class person's struggle. You know, if you look at some of the most infamous, I guess, supporter groups in Europe, in South America, in Central America, in Mexico, they're like downright like getting down with like cops in the streets, you know? Like we're not doing that. What we're doing is we're firmly believing, standing in our beliefs, right? We're not hiding it. We're not flipping the switch on anybody like, oh my God, we're so political now.
Like, no, it's that's why people have joined certain groups, because of their political beliefs.
And I'm sure that that's, you know, somewhere down the line, they've been able to tout like, you know, look at like we have poderosas and they're into like social justice and they're able to mix their football with social justice, you know? And so it's just that it just so happens that this time around, it makes certain people uncomfortable, you know? Like if we're going to get into it, like we were flying the Palestinian flag, which is something that we've flown, like you said, Maita, from like season one, day one. And so we were flying the flags. Like, let's just get into it. Let's just imagine, everybody, like, close your eyes. that we flew the flags. And throughout the game, the flag was being flown. The absolute worst that could have happened, if there were no, you know, heightened security, LAPD
restrictions, from
restrictions,
and, such.
And all of a sudden, you know, you're not allowed to bring this, like bans. The worst that could have happened, people would have felt offended. People would have felt uncomfortable, right? I've never seen a flag make something unsafe, like a flag, like the physical presence of a flag feel unsafe.
Or threaten anybody.
Or threaten anyone, right? But what instead happened, and I would tell people, like, lean into your discomfort. Like, why does that flag make you feel uncomfortable? Like, let's unpack it. Like, I'm here for that, you know? I love to have those conversations. And instead, what the founders and the FO, who I've never seen, and shout out Shea Butter Podcast, like,
yeah, they put it so eloquently.
Come on, man.
We'll link it even in our description.
Episode. They just threw it down, like, word for word. Like, I was driving back home from work and I was just like clapping and like snapping and just being like, that part, you know, that part right there. Like, yes. Like,
it was coming from a non-ACFC supporter perspective, from a completely like neutral perspective. Of like people that follow the NWSL, like they had so much to say about it that aligned with how we feel, which was very comforting. So I appreciate them so much for that.
100%, 1,000%, dude. Yeah. And so it was just like, so yeah, going back to like what actually did happen at the game, right? What actually did happen at the game is that we had heightened security. So these are not like the yellow jackets that you see that, you know, go through your bags and like are like standing like by the rails of like the where the field and the stands meet, right? This was like stadium security. This was LAPD. This was crowd control security. But yeah, these are the dudes that like put folks in headlocks. Like, you know, these are the folks that are not as restrained. And so what ended up happening was that we had a lot of that security going into the rows, which have never happened before. I've never seen front office staff go into the front rows. And like, you know, one things that I always tell people that are like, oh, ACFC, like we follow LAFC, is I'm like, dude, this is a space where I can take my whole family. my daughter actually loves coming to these games, you know. Safe spaces for me and my daughter are invaluable. Those are I always joke and I'm like, I'll go anywhere where my daughter still thinks like it's cool to go hang out with her mom at, you know. And so this was a time when I actually, my kids felt unsafe, and it wasn't because of the flags. The flags are always there, you know. My daughter has seen that trans flag, you know, fly. She's seen the Palestinian flag fly. She's seen, you know, the pride flags fly. And the only thing that was different this time around, because we're used to flags, was that there was an extra sense of like police and security in and out of the stands, like harassing people, yelling at people, getting in people's faces, pushing people, grabbing things away from them. That I felt as a mom, you know, as a mom who, I'm a season ticket holder. I bought 2 extra tickets so that way my partner and my youngest kid, my 9-year-old, so we could all go. And I was actually thinking about like getting the whole family 4-pack, you know, of season ticket holders or season tickets for this season. And I'm absolutely not going to do that. And so, yeah, so the security actually like made our space, our culture, our stands that we've created. And I've bragged about it to other families, like, come through, bring your kids. Like, you know, they made it feel unsafe for the first time that I've never felt unsafe at BMO Stadium, you know. And like, that says a lot, because like, I also support LAFC, and those games can get pretty rowdy. Like, the energy is very macho, very masculine, very aggressive, you know, even with the chants, you know. And so that was something that I had always appreciated about ACFC. And for the first time, it actually felt unsafe. And it wasn't because of the flags. It was because of the elevated police presence, security presence. And if you want to get into it, like, Poderosas comes from a community or communities where over-policing is a real thing, you know? We've had family members, extended family members, friends that have been incarcerated, that have been brutalized by police. That is not something that we want to experience in the stadiums, you know? And usually La Fortaleza is what it sounds like, you know?
It's a fortress away. It's a safe place.
It's a safe place.
Because of us.
Yeah.
Because
of us. And to even go even further than that, you know, we've had other SGs come up to us, Poderosas, and say, you know, your de-escalation skills are like something that we actually have like adopted, and like we've acquired, like, oh, now we have like peacekeepers in the stands. And, you know, now we have protocol on how to, you know, handle like any issues that arise in the stands because of the way y'all do that. So we've gotten like major props, you know, just recently in the DEI training that we went through, which is so funny because we're saying like DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, right? And here we are talking about like inequity. We're talking about exclusion.
The literal opposite.
The literal opposite of what we just went through. Yeah, it does feel very performative. It feels performative as hell. And so, yeah, you know, that's something that I've been kind of like just processing, kind of going over. And it's not just me. Like, I know there's a lot of parents in the group, you know, that have had to like have conversations with their kiddos, like, how are you feeling, you know, like
even younger, babies who they don't know how to like process that without a parent guiding them through that.
Yeah. And it was it's something that we're still going to continue to do and talk about and kind of like unpack with our kiddos, because that was triggering. It was triggering. A lot of the folks in our group have experienced, like, some folks are refugees. Some folks have experienced that in their homelands, in our communities. And to go back to, like, my point, it was like, okay, so we brought the flags in. And if you would have just let them fly, like now you made it into a bigger thing now, you know? Because it's not like we flipped the switch and all of a sudden we were just like, ah, now, and now we're going to, now we're going to fly the flags or whatever, you know?
It would just not have been anywhere near that. It would have been such a like low key thing. And instead, you know, it wasn't just us, right? AC Pandemonium also created a very large banner that they put up for the first 5 minutes of the game, in which everybody in the supporters section or the Fortaleza, you know, they had a 5 minutes of silence for the most part. And the banner read, "The founders don't speak for all." So it's not just Poderosas, right? There's a lot of people that have these feelings. There's a lot of people who felt disrespected. And, you know, Julie Ehrman and all those other people who forced, from what we know, forced that statement to come out. They disrespected us by speaking for us and speaking for the club when it's the voice of very few. And it's a voice that, like, is unfair to put on, and quite frankly, damage their own brand, damage their own money, damage the, as, you know, the Shea Butter episode gets into a lot more eloquently than I can.
Yeah, but I was reading an article on something, and it said that out of all of the NWSL, like, that ACFC brings in like 39% of like the total, like, I don't know what it is, like gross sales or income or whatever, like 39% out of the whole freaking league, dude.
One of 12 teams.
Yeah. That right, we're now almost pulling in like 40% of all the generated revenue income. Like, that's wild, you know?
And you're hurting just the whole NWSL.
Like,
you're hurting everything.
Yeah. And so I'm just like, you know, just kind of reflecting on that and just being like, wow, like the ego is a trip, you know? Like, instead of just being like, you know what, you're right, we should have listened, and like, this is how we're gonna correct it. So easy. But instead they doubled down and they were like, it just felt very punitive, like, and now you're gonna get the pow pow, you know?
Basically, like, they're like, oh, this is, and even in like the direct communication that wasn't made public, it was very aggressive, like, this decision is final, these, you know, you have to abide by these things. And they thought that the relationship that they had allegedly built with us was going to make us their little, like, you know, I don't know, like, people that are going to just do everything that they say, no questions asked. That's what they expected from us.
And to be totally honest, they flip-flopped on a lot of things prior to, like, Sunday's game. You know, there was notes where some folks in the FO were like, they're gonna have to get through us first before they get to you.
We'll protect you.
Yeah. And then it turns out that those same folks from the FO were the ones getting in people's faces and yelling at people and making it feel very, very unsafe. Yeah. You know, like, how breaking, do you explain, like, that?
Fully breaking that trust.
How do you, like, explain that? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. And so, you know, you can play hot potato with who was it that created, you know, unsafety, that created an unsafe space,
a ton of tension.
You could say, oh, it was LAPD that did this, or, you know, when we have like direct like communication, you know, within like the security, that was just like, this was from the president of ACFC, this was their call. So, you know, like, miss me with that misinformation, or like that there was a lack of communication. No, it was perfectly communicated. It came from the top. Folks were scrambling, and this is what they had for it. It was a crap show, you know?
Yeah, it was a mess. And, you know, with the irony of it, this is what they deemed their fan appreciation match. You know, they had
the fan fest going on.
They had their, you know, things that they did, and it's just, yeah, it's very disappointing. It was night and day.
Yeah.
You know, from what we're used to. And we were talking about this before the show. There was absolutely zero reason for them to think that we would ever be violent or like physically aggressive or do anything of the sort. We had never, ever, ever
zero history.
In fact,
it's the opposite, right? our de-escalation like tactics are unparalleled.
Yeah, absolutely. We had zero intentions to do anything besides be peaceful. So
I keep asking, I'm like, cool, so women's reproductive rights, that's cool. Trans rights, that's cool. Gay rights, gun control, Black Lives Matter, Indigenous peoples. Like, so can you please like clarify like whose human rights don't we support? You know, because we're not making an anti whatever statement. We are making a pro-Palestinian liberation statement. We're talking about the human rights of an oppressed people. We're talking about the right for everybody to have a dignified life, right? At the end of the day, that is what we're talking about.
Yeah,
we absolutely made no statements of anti this or anti that. We are pro-Palestinian human rights. And so if that is something that they want to clarify that we don't support, like we don't support the human rights of Palestinians, please make that clear. Please make that clear. Make that clarification. That would help me make a lot more decisions, a little bit more with clarity, you know? So I'm just like, make the distinction.
Exactly. Just to even like go further into what Angel City has gotten up to, the day after the game, there was an LA Times article that came out that pretty much, you know, explained what happened during the game, explained from like generally from the perspective of the people who were there, what happened accurately. This was shocking, but it happened. It was there.
Yeah.
And like, not even whatever, like what, 48, not even 48 hours later, this has been edited to be like practically unrecognizable, quite honestly. Like it's now including tons of pro-Israeli rhetoric that villainizes us, like to an extent, makes us like, turns it around on us as if we weren't, you know, the ones who were coming. I don't know. I don't think that we came with any sort of bad intentions.
Yeah, there was definitely spin put on the article, and the reporter that I spoke with handled it with a lot of care. Like the first article, the edits that they made or that were made after the article was published, I spoke with the journalist that wrote the original article, and I was very skeptical. I was very skeptical at the beginning because I know what spin is, and it's not something that I don't understand, like with my own line of work, you know. I know how politicos work, and I was pleasantly surprised when the article first came out. What we were talking about was inclusivity, right? And what that meant to the club, and how that the censorship and the ban kind of like broke all of those talks about inclusivity within like the culture that we've built, you know. And so they were asked for a statement. The original article asked ACFC for a statement, and they declined to give a statement.
Right.
And with the new update, they still declined to give an official statement on behalf of ACFC. But what instead they did was they were able to find some anonymous, you know,
some people
that are not supporters. One, first of all, they're not supporters. They're not the ones that are putting in all this free time and energy, you know, helping create, you know, the atmosphere that is so electric at tailgates, at, you know, watch parties, during the games. These are like casual folks that you know, happen to go to the games. And they were able to not just give like maybe their factual side of the story. These were like egregious like opinions that were actually really harmful that I actually had to call and be like, hey, can you explain like why it's okay to say that the Palestinian flag now means that you support terrorists. I was like, that is extremely harmful, anti-Muslim, anti-Palestinian rhetoric that has real life consequences. Real life consequences. There was a 6-year-old little boy, Palestinian boy, that was stabbed to death. Like, and that's real.
In response to what's been going on.
To media outlets.
Here in America.
That sensationalize and like straight up just like lie about certain things and like run with like misinformation. And I let them know that like misinformation literally puts people in harm's way. You know? And so like these were the statements that ACFC gave to the LA Times.
But shook off, in quotes. Shook off the blame from themselves, saying, oh, somebody else said that. They were absolute cowards to do that. Totally. To use somebody else's, some other anonymous person's, like, alleged comments and refuse to give your own. Like, you have enough time to get somebody else's, but you don't give your own.
Yeah, and this was how I knew it wasn't the journalist's edits. That it probably came from someone higher up. The journalist that we spoke to was a fact checker. Like, they were like, show me the pictures.
Diligent.
Can I get your name? I need to know where you live. I need to know how old you are. Like, you know, like, can you get me the name of so-and-so? Is there any leadership that I can talk to you? And then for ACFC to just go ahead and just be like, these are anonymous people's opinions about.
We have zero proof that this occurred.
Yeah. You know, I was like, I would love to know the emails of these folks. Like, are they real people even? You know, are these like, who are these folks that are giving these opinions like that? Saying that they felt unsafe. I'm like, from what? Like, what actually happened to you? Like, and then also, like, let's talk about why does the Palestinian flag bother you so much? Like, I would love, like I said, I would love to unpack all that with folks. Like, let's dig deep into this. Because usually it comes from a place of fear. You know, most people, like, whether it's trans rights, queer rights, gay rights, people are scared of things that they don't know about, you know? And so, like, let's unpack that. Like, let's talk about, like, what it actually means that when we say, like, we believe in, like, the Palestinians, like, self-determination and liberation. You know, what we're talking about is the right to live a dignified life. It's as simple as that. Right? And so, like, a lot of that comes from, like, Islamophobia, misinformation, hate speech, you know? And I actually... I spoke with the journalist and I said, you know, I really appreciated the first article, the edits on the second one. I'm concerned that these are actually going to be a lot more harmful than what you initially thought would happen, especially with there was a quote that was like, well, 2 weeks ago, the Palestinian flag, meant something totally different, but now it means terrorism. You know, I actually had to like be like, that is misinformation. That's not factually true.
It's propaganda.
And like, that is going to put people like in physical harm. And they actually retracted that. I think they edited it because I took a screenshot of it and I reread it. I've been rereading that article just to be like, is it still the same? Like, what did they change? And yeah, they took that out of the article, which I'm happy about because like, yeah, like it's,
For like, you know, like not to get into every single little thing in the article, sure. But even just going, just the title went from originally fans are questioning Angel City's inclusivity after Palestinian flags were blocked to,
which is factually true. What happened? Yeah.
And like generally what the article was about to going to, Middle East conflict test Angel City's efforts to provide safe, inclusive atmosphere. Like, that is the most blatant, obvious spin. Way of seeing that Angel City got involved.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And in more ways than one.
In that's probably what, really messed up, corrupt ways.
Yeah. And that's, you know, without saying that, that's what the journalist said. You know,
It's cowardly. I mean, to me, like, how do they have no shame? How do they not have any shame? Like, how does LA Times not have shame?
Well, I mean, like, one, they're a corporation at the end of the day that has like financial ties to certain things, you know. At the end of the day, it goes back to money. And ACFC is doing like damage control right now. But it would just be so much easier if they said we messed up. It's so easy to fix this. Like
they never will.
They never will. But I'm just saying, like, you know, it's a super easy fix. It's an easy fix that will take a lot of time to repair.
Yeah.
But the first step is just admitting when you messed up.
Exactly. And I mean, that's kind of a big reason that this podcast is, and I'm really happy that you're on this podcast today, because we answer to us, this community answers to themselves. There's no higher up, there's no threats to our livelihoods for speaking the truth. And what we say here is coming from us, and it's honest as can be. Nobody's here is doing this for money. Nobody here like has any reason to be censored today.
Well, I don't know, my contract with Nike, no, I'm just kidding.
Maybe they'll show up for us, who knows. No.
What's up, Nike? And it goes back to our mission statement, which is how we show up in the stands is how we show up in the streets, you know, and how we show up in our real lives. And a lot of us are educators, a lot of us are civil servants, you know, community organizers. We work with like the most marginalized people in our community. So this isn't something that we just, you know, we're talking the talk, but we're not walking the walk. You know, if I can say that a little bit, you know, I'm really proud of our community, and I'm really proud of the folks in Poderosas that do the work that they do, you know.
Absolutely. Listen to any of our other episodes. Like, yeah, dude, these are incredible, incredible people.
Yeah. So, you know, like, we have nothing to lose in this, honestly, like, and everything to gain.
Yeah.
And there's been people from other supporter groups that have reached out to us, and we're just like, we're with you, you know? And that means the world, because there's been times where we don't see eye to eye on certain things.
Yeah.
But we're talking about something
bigger than, you know.
Yeah.
Bigger than football.
Bigger than football. And everybody's feeling it right now. Everybody that I talk to is just like, you know, like, everything that's going on in the world right now just seems so overwhelming. And I'm just like, yeah, because it is. It is overwhelming, you know? And it's times like this when we have, like, community, when we have, like, these silly little, like, SGs, you know? Like, to be perfectly honest, like, this SG is for collective joy, you know? Like, the work that we do is heavy. The work that we do is heavy.
Day to day,
like, yeah. You know, we work really hard. We work really long hours. And if we don't incorporate collective joy in our lives, like, it feels really like defeatist sometimes, you know? And so, like, this is why Poderosas is such a beautiful space, you know, because this is a place where we get to unwind and like have a drink with our friends, and our kids are safe running around, you know, like it's a beautiful community that we've built, you know. And so I think it'd be a lie to say that this wasn't extremely harmful to all the, like, the collective joy that we've built along with this, you know. Joy is revolutionary, you know, so we have to incorporate that in our lives, you know, especially in times like right now. When it's difficult to even feel joyful, to be perfectly honest, you know, I've had friends reach out to me and they were just like, I feel terrible. And I'm just like, yeah, that's what it's supposed to, that's what they want you to feel. Like, that's how they want you to feel, that you're hopeless, that your voice doesn't matter, you know? And it's times like this where we just need to, like, pour into each other. You know, when I'm feeling low, I call Daisy, I call Alma, I call Claudia, I call, and, you know, like, just like a few chistes and, like, you know, a couple of laughs, you know, maybe some crying because I am a chillona, like, that, it makes the difference. And so, like, this is what we're building too in Poderosas, you know, a place where we can, like, truly lean in on each other. And, like, I don't know, man, there's something about queer femme-led spaces that just, you know,
hit different.
They just hit different. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, Yeah. And of course, you know, we couldn't do what we do without our brothers, you know, our poderosas in our group that really hold it down and like let us lead.
Yeah, so crucial. You know? One of like the best things that they could have done is be there to support and let you lead. Yeah. That was incredible. Like that we need to see that more in this world.
Yes, I love that.
Well, now that we've got a lot of the heavy stuff out of the way, let's get to know you, who we've been talking for like 30 minutes now, over 30 minutes. But I mean, I definitely want to know more about you. And starting with what I ask everybody, how did you fall in love with football, if you are in love with football?
I grew up with an older brother and a younger brother. So and an older sister too, but she was like much older. Like the oldest was like my sister, and so she was just like too big and too cool
for too me. Over it.
Yeah. And so I grew up like in a sandwich. And so I did everything that my brothers did. And so if they were doing kung fu, I wanted to do kung fu. If they started playing soccer, we all played soccer. And so actually my dad coached me for most of my soccer, like from like maybe 5 to I think maybe 10. And then I had to like bump up a level
to a coach.
Yeah. To like an actual like coach. But like honestly, I loved playing soccer. I played midfield and defense. I was a very hyper kid, so that was really helpful just to
energy
be like literally yeah. just run. And then I had a coach that was just kind of whack and just took like sucked the fun out of like football for me. And I was just like, that's it. I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to be around all these boys and it's not cool. And even though it's super cool. And I stopped, and like looking back on it, I was just like, man, like if it wasn't for that one machista like coach, I might have like played it a lot longer. And then I just got into music. I was like punk is everything. And so
it is everything. I agree.
And so yeah, that's how I got into it. And it was really a special moment that I really loved. I remember feeling like just running and like just feeling like my face hot and like my hair all greenuda because I never liked combing my hair. It just felt like freedom.
And outside of your football life, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, what else you're passionate about?
So my name is Tiff Sanchez, pronouns she, her, ella. I'm a mom, first and foremost, to two amazing tiny human beings. My daughter, Bear, who's over here disassociating and being a cool teenager. My littlest one, Lala. Who's 9, and they're just super amazing. So I'm a mom. I'm also a community organizer. I work for East Yard Communities for Environmental Justice. So the way I explain it, I was like, when people are like, we fight polluters in the hood, you know? I come from families of community organizers. Starting with my grandparents and my suegra, who passed away recently, was a huge I don't know, I can't even put it into words because I get emotional, but she was just like so impactful in my life around organizing. And she passed away like 2 years ago, and so it left like a huge void in like the community. And I was just like, well, you know, like what I can do myself right now is try to do as much as I can, you know, while I'm still here too. And so that's a little bit about me.
That's amazing. You're trying to heal while helping others. That's like the best thing in the world.
In particular, it's youth organizing that I do here on the East Side. And like what you said right now, like, yeah, it's very healing to hold space for young people. I see that as like something sacred. And a tiny little part of me, like my inner Tiff, is healing too, as I can be like, it's super cheesy, but I can be an adult for young people, like the adult that I needed growing up. So yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. Shifting a little bit, how did you end up with Poderosas and with that community?
Oh yeah. So, like some of the folks before, we came from a supporter group in LAFC. We heard that ACFC was happening and we were just like, it would be dope just to like have something just for us, you know, like, and so a few folks started it and I did not make it out to the first few games, like the Fullerton ones. I was like, I am not driving out to Fullerton.
I don't think I would have either. I think that would have been,
I'm like, shout out to y'all that did, like, yeah. Y'all are real ones. I just was like, es un pinche chinga to like try to get like the kids and like go and like, you know, just like do all these things. And that's right, that was
even in those games.
Yeah, we had the Palestinian flag out there too. And yeah, and so I was just like, like with that traffic and my kiddos, like, no. Also, I like to give them a little autonomy too on like where we go on our weekends, because I do work a lot. And yeah, so but when it came time, they were like BMO Stadium, I was like, say less, I'm there.
The bank formerly.
Yes. And yeah, I just, there's something about supporting for like 90 plus minutes, and like it's like the best scream therapy. I don't know. Like, you know,
no my voice the is next still day.
My voice is still hoarse from Sunday. And yeah, and just you know, cheering with like, it's different, right? It's different this time around because it's like, it's your homegirls. It's like how Bear says it, she loves it because it's like all her tias, you know, like she just gets to kick it with like these dope mujeres all the time. And it's just really amazing, like the what we're able to like experience together. Yeah, so that's my Poderosa story.
I have to say, because I wasn't very nervous going to this last game. I mentioned earlier I had a lot of anxiety about it, but to me, one of the most amazing memories that I have of the game is watching you go to the capo stand wearing your, you know, Palestine shirt. And I was thinking, I'm like, if she can do it, I'll be fine, you know. Like, yeah. That was such bravery, like not just wearing it in the stands, not just resisting in the stands, like going up in front of everyone where everyone can see you. You're not hiding at all. And that moment was incredible, and I have to commend you for that.
Thank you. I didn't think of it at the time. I was just like, ain't no way that No Poderosos is going to be on that capo stand, you know? And I'm like, I was just like, if they make me take off my shirt, I'm going to be in my sports bra, yo, like chanting, like, you know, you're not going to be able to remove me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was definitely not what I was thinking at the time. I was just like, there's nobody in the capo stands.
I got to go. Know? Yeah. Just duty.
Yeah. 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 And to like, also like, yes, we're making a stance, but like we're also supporting our team, you know, like 90 minutes plus, you know. So yeah, thanks. I always feel awkward when I get like compliments, and I'm like internally melting.
Well, I mean, back to what you were saying though, a little bit, like, yeah, we still have so much love for the team, right?
That doesn't change.
The
yeah,
players. Even Tweed, like, she got us here. Mm-hmm. This is incredible. Our celebratory moments were like, you know, very damaged, but you know, speaking, I just have like a little bit of a sweet moment at least. But do you have a player of the pod? Every single podcast we don a player as like our fave.
Oh my goodness, there are so many. I get like giddy, like I'm like, who?
My girls.
They're all amazing. But I always am like, all the mamas on the team, I'm just like, you're like, that's me too. Like, we right here. Like, you know, my kids don't like eating certain foods, your kids don't like eating certain foods. But no, yes, the mamas. But my personal favorite is forever, Jazzy Spencer. Oh gosh, I just like, anytime she like gets out on the field, I just go crazy. Like, she's so amazing. Her energy, like literally, like her aura is just like, but also like her speed, her like her just knowing where to be at, like her the way IQ. She brings in like a burst of energy when we need it, like when you can see like that the team is kind of sluggish, she just comes in like a lightning bolt, and she's fury. Just amazing. And she's like feisty too, which is something that I can relate to, so it's just like Jazzy. So for me, it's Jazzy Spencer. She's just
she's incredible.
Yeah. And like, if I can stand a little bit more, at the end of the first season, we all got postcards signed by the players, and I got her, which I was just like, oh my god. It was meant to be. So yeah, Jazzy Spencer.
Those one-on-one interactions, like, you never know how they're gonna go. I've met a lot of the players, and Spencer was one of the sweetest. She's one of my friends, Daniel. You know, I'm the guy with the glitter beard. you've seen him, his favorite player. And she very easily agreed to do like a little happy birthday video for him, which I was like, whoa, like that's so sweet. And he died. So
peanut butter and jelly.
She's cool. So nice. Like, meet your heroes, you know what I mean?
Seriously. Yeah. No, she's just incredible. And like, I think it's important to always uplift like our like women of color players, like
such a like a sport in the US especially, like it's so white.
Yeah.
From top to bottom.
It's like you have to be
have money. Great.
You have to be great, and on top of that you have to be great. You know what I mean? Like, you have to have a certain level of excellence to be able to like be like to overcome all those hurdles, like, let's be real, you know? And so I'm just like, yeah.
Spencer's great.
she's more than great. Like, she's an amazing role model to, like, the things that she advocates for. Or she, like, you know, she came out with that clothing line.
She's involved with the Black Player Association.
Yeah.
I forget the exact name, but she's I'll
dope.
Link it.
She's dope. Yeah, so I just love her so much.
That's a great one. That's a good one. I'm surprised it hasn't come up earlier.
Ugh, I love her so much.
That's amazing. Well, let's talk a little bit about soccer and football.
Yeah.
Now that we're here. Other than all the terrible, terrible parts of what happened this weekend, we somehow won 5-1 against the number one team at the time, Portland Thorns. They saved their best performance for the last regular season game. Yo, I guess
it just everything, like all the Lego pieces just clicked, like,
yeah,
clack, clack. It was like the, what is it, the Metatron,
like, nothing went wrong.
No,
like,
no,
all the things that they planned for, it delivered.
It's so weird too. I don't want to toot my own horn or our own horn here, but the first 10-15 minutes of the game
when we were silent
was like scatterbrains, right?
Nothing
like
was going right.
No possession, no like placement on
concerning.
The field. Like, yeah. I remember just like everything was just uncomfortable.
And once we came to life, they came to life.
You know, I'm not gonna say it, but I'm just, you know, like, that is just a weird coincidence. That's all. It's just a weird coincidence.
Yeah.
From what I can remember, because it was a very tense game.
Of course.
And I was in the capo stand the last half, so my back was towards the
was towards the
field, and so you don't, like, that's the thing about being capo, is that you actually don't get to watch the game,
right?
And so we have these rotating capos, right? And I'm always just like, not me this time, like,
yeah.
You know,
you have to sacrifice.
Yeah,
that,
and
know?
So, you know, if you're lucky, you can look up at the Jumbotron and kind of, like, catch what happened, and you're just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was reading a lot of the supporters' body language, and I was just like, oh, we're doing good. Like,
yeah.
We're doing more than good. We're doing great. And then just watching the highlights when I got home, exhausted. Yeah, it was just so – I was just like, oh, my God, like –
a bicycle kick?
Dude.
Sydney LaRue.
What the heck? And I've been saying Gordon has just been on freaking fire, dude.
Our Iron Woman.
Oh, my
officially,
God.
Officially, congratulations
to
her.
Like the mamas, I'm telling you.
They're built different. Super human.
Built different. Yo. Like,
yeah.
Like, put that on a bumper sticker. ACFC mamas, built different.
Combined with everything going right for the forwards, you know, we were tied up with like two other teams, and goal differential was what got us into playoffs.
Yeah.
If we hadn't scored as much as we scored, we could very well not have made it. That's wild that we delivered the way that we delivered.
And how many corner kicks we had in like the last, like let me think, like,
well, there was one match where we had like 15 and we didn't, well, like in other matches, those corners were coming out to nothing.
Yeah. And I was just like, we could have scored way more goals. Like
a penalty that wasn't called properly. You know, those referee things have gotten us in our feels in the past.
Oh, the refs. The refs the last three games have been
questionable.
Comical, almost. I'm like, are we in a Charlie Chaplin movie? Like, what is going on? Like, someone got pantsed? Like, I'm just waiting for, like, the giant banana peel to, like, just fall into the field and just somebody go, whoa, 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 whoa. It's the refs have been garbage the last couple of games. But it's just, like, it's so amazing. Like, just I caught the highlights, right? But it's just, like, a really well-oiled machine. Like, just,
everyone's
like,
talking about it.
Everything clicked. Everyone's talking about it. So, yeah, that was really exciting. Yeah, like, our team is playing with an aggression, like, they're hungry, and, like, the way that they're able to read the field and just be in the right position, like, the positioning has been really amazing.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like this is the moment that they've been waiting for all season, and it happened, and I have to give all the credit to Becky Tweed. How she hasn't been named head coach is beyond anyone's comprehension. One loss in her entire run. Singular loss.
Yeah, I'm sure they're just refining the contracts right now, you know?
I mean, getting her something to do with her licensing. Yeah. I don't know it very well, but we landed in number 5 spot, not even number 6. Like, we were the only bottom 6 team that scraped up and managed to get in that top 6. And we got the top 5 spot. I have to say I'm grateful that it's top 5 and not 4, because we would have had a home game and that would have probably been very stressful. And so instead, we're flying to Seattle.
Some of us are staying here.
Some of us are getting together.
Yeah.
Watching together.
Yeah, for sure. But it's been really exciting. The emotional roller coaster that us as supporters have been on with this team was just like, there were moments where I had friends that were like, what's up with that team? They got some good players, but like, they can't get a dub. And I'm just like, quiet.
Yeah, I was there. Like, you don't have to tell me. You think I don't know?
Exactly.
Yeah. But I mean, now we're heading into playoffs and there's a little bit of curiosity from other people, because like, there's a lot of international games happening.
Right.
We're losing Mignola and Thompson.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, I think there's a lengthy break where like we'll probably be okay, but there's other teams that are losing even more, so I guess I shouldn't be mad, right? But
I think after the World Cup too, our team showed that
we have depth.
We can do it without some of our star, quote unquote, star players, right? That there's enough.
I mean, Thompson doesn't really start. Like, we rely on other internationals, though. I mean, that's a lot of internationals got call-ups, not just the U.S. women's national team. We have tons of others that are incredible. Emsley, June, you know, everybody.
The list goes on. Yeah.
So we'll see what happens, but we're off this Friday, basically, probably when this episode comes out, to go against Seattle in OL Reign. Mm-hmm. And we very recently defeated them. That was on our turf, however. Mm. Now we're going to theirs and what could be Megan Rapinoe's last game.
Right.
So there's a lot of pressure. If we can manage that defeat at Lumen Field, we will play in the semifinals against San Diego. You know, we're going to go hard. That's only 2 hours away. We're going to be there.
Let's go.
That's home field for us, if we're being honest.
Mm-hmm. You said that.
If we're being honest.
You said the quiet parts out loud. I like that.
And then, of course, if we go all the way to the championship game, that will also be in San Diego, also be in Snapdragon, and we're going to be there too. So this could potentially be the biggest comeback of all time.
The comeback kids right there. That's the shirt.
Yeah, honestly, if you steal that from me, ACFC, I want 10% proceeds. So
what is it? Patent pending.
Patent pending.
Patent pending.
So yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm glad that it's not a BMO. I truly am. I truly am. And I hope that they do well. I hope that they do so well, as much as conflicted as I am about the organization. Because the girls deserve it. They worked their ass off. We've supported our asses off.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. No, 100% agree with you. I don't think I can add more to that. Yeah. Let's go ACFC.
Let's go the teammates of ACFC. Well, let's get into our closing out section, which I call plugs, which where we plug many, many things, starting with our LA business of the podcast. Who do you want to shout out?
Ooh, okay. Right off the bat, I'm already thinking of my homegirl, Ellie, and her shop here in City Terrace called Earthy Corazon. If you have not been there, this is your local homegirl shop that you can get. She makes handcrafted candles. She makes pomadas. She makes oil rollers. It's an apothecary. You can buy your plantitas there. She sells jewelry. She sells a lot of other articles of like clothing and jewelry and coffee. You know, I think Picaresca got a shout out already for it. She sells their coffee beans there. And it's queer. It's a queer woman of color owned business. And she sells queer women and trans folks. I guess, what can you say? Like merchandise. In their shop. There's like a really cool brand called Smile Cult that she carries that me and Bear really love. But they sell art there, so there's like beautiful art prints there. And yeah, it's just an amazing shop. She also does like yoga. Like sometimes on Fridays she like has like let's just kick it and have some wine, you know. I've done candle making there. She does candle making workshops. She does jewelry making workshops there. It's kind of like it's turning into this really beautiful community space. She's also done wellness workshops for some of the youth that we have in our org. And so she's just a really amazing person that I met years and years and years ago when we were on our, you know, we're always going to be on our own like healing journey. Through women's circles out in Eastside Cafe, which is in El Sereno. And we just kind of like kept in contact. And now she's one of my daughter Bear's favorite tias, you know? She's always just like, oh, there's a photo booth at the shop.
I'm there.
That my kids just like love. And it's just like a really beautiful, beautiful space that she's created. So I want to give a shout out to Earthy Corazon. Ellie, what's up? I love you. You're my boo. And yeah, I really like to uplift my homegirls like that.
I love that. I mean, I'm definitely going to check it out. I'm going to put links in the description. Please follow through and check them out.
Yeah, it's at, I think on IG, it's like at Earthy Corazon.
Easy enough. Perfect. It is.
Yeah.
And then the next segment is basically figuring out what we want to recommend to people. For me, we kind of already talked about it. Shea Butter FC podcast. They killed it with their latest episode. Like I said, we're going to post that link as well. But yeah, I love that podcast. Love the work that they're doing. Love their honesty and like unfiltered, like unedited sort of commentary. And they're, yeah, just incredible people. So super shout out to Shea Butter FC.
Yeah, shout out Sky. Shout out Silves. What's up, y'all? I think a recommendation that I will give is a song rec. A song rec that I have just been like putting on repeat for especially like the last couple of weeks have been really heavy. And it's a song by Black Party and it's called Bloom. It's a song that this artist wrote for their little sister. And the lyrics are just really beautiful, and especially for Poderosas, like the song literally says like I hope your flowers bloom. The lyrics are amazing, and it's just everything that I that I wish for like our semillas and for our community and for like each other, you know. I hope that all of our flowers bloom, and it's cheesy, but that's how I roll, y'all. That's how I roll. So if y'all can like give it a listen, like, it's a really beautiful song. It's a bop actually too, like, I'm not gonna lie, like, yeah,
it's also a jam. So let's go.
All
right, well, the last thing I'm gonna say is to follow Poderosas on Instagram and Twitter, Poderosas_ACFC, because we post about everything there, right? Everything mm-hmm. that we're doing in community, our thoughts, our people.
Watch parties.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Different things going on in the community, resources, you know,
all of very that good active stuff. On there. Shout out to yeah. Emily.
What's up, Emily?
So, yeah, thank you so much for joining me with this. I honestly feel like it wasn't even supposed to be for that, but it helped me, like, tamed a lot of my anxieties around what's going on right now with our group. Yeah. I feel a lot better.
Yeah,
I feel...
y'all. Check in on your friends, you know, check in on your homegirls, check in on your own energies, you know, toma agüita.
Yeah, do whatever you need to do, because yeah, sometimes it can feel a little hopeless when the people in power are putting you down, but we have each other.
That's so right.
That's what matters.
They don't got us, we got us, y'all.
Exactly.
Period.
All right, well, thanks for listening. Don't forget to leave a review and 5 stars and all that good stuff.
Smash that like button.
Subscribe. All right. Subscribe. Bye.